Welcome to the LexisNexis Workers' Compensation Law Center podcast. Discussions and interviews with leading attorneys and industry professionals. On this edition, Reed Steinfeld of Grant & Weber on silent PPOs in the workers' compensation arena. Make the new LexisNexis Law Centers your starting point for the information you need for your practice area. Each law center includes the latest news headlines, free news about movers and shakers in your area of law, free podcasts of news and interviews, a free blog area, and summaries and links into expert commentaries written by some of the best-known names in each particular field. The LexisNexis Law Centers. Reed Steinfeld is in-house counsel for Grant & Weber, a receivables and resource management organization incorporated in California, Nevada, and Arizona. In July 2008, Mr. Steinfeld gave a presentation on silent PPOs at an American Association of Healthcare Administrative Management seminar in San Diego. His presentation on chipping away at the silent PPO covered some key panel decisions issued by the California Workers' Compensation Appeals Board. Mr. Steinfeld, welcome to this LexisNexis podcast. First, briefly explain just what is a silent PPO.
Well, I believe that in order to understand what a silent PPO is, I need to first define what a PPO is. And a simple definition is that preferred provider organizations are a type of managed care organization under which providers accept reduced payments in exchange for increased patient flow. Basically, the provider is giving up something in order to get more business. This leads us to the definition of a silent PPO. A silent PPO is created when a PPO gains additional revenue by selling its reduced provider rates to payers who are not a party to the preferred rate agreement with provider panels and who do not provide incentives for their beneficiaries to see these providers. This is a nationwide problem for both work comp and non-work related treatment. Several states are working on legislation in an effort to curb this practice. The reality is that this practice has resulted in a lot of money being made on the backs of providers. In the new LexisNexis Workers' Compensation Law Center, there are several articles dealing with this issue, among others, and would be a good resource for the listeners to learn more about this problem.
Have there been some cases in California that have dealt with this issue?
In the workers' comp arena, the first case that I'm aware of that dealt with this issue is entitled Zuniga versus Stewart, wherein State Compensation Insurance Fund was a party to the action. The case is a panel decision and can be found at 2002 Cal Work Comp PD Lexis 104. In cases dealing with PPO and silent PPO issues, the first hurdle to overcome is the issue of jurisdiction. Does the court have jurisdiction to even hear the matter? Under California Labor Code 5304, the court is without jurisdiction to determine contract disputes. What made Zuniga so special was the court listened to the arguments and found that since SCIF did not have a contract with the provider of services, there was no contract in dispute, and therefore the court had jurisdiction to hear the matter, thus finding that SCIF did not have the right to access the provider's Blue Cross contract. However, the interesting twist on the case was that no money was awarded because the court also found that the lien claimant was seeking more than the official medical fee schedule, and since no evidence was presented to establish their right to additional money, the court did not award any.
That was a case from 2002, right? So if it was decided so many years ago, why is this still an issue?
That's a good question, but first of all, this was a panel decision that was not deemed a significant panel decision. Although it is decidable under the Griffin case, which can be found at it's a 1989 case, at 209 Cal App 3rd, 1260, specifically page 1264, footnote 2, a panel decision does not have to be followed by a judge. And from a practical standpoint, SCIF could say that they may have even won the case because no monies were awarded, so in actuality, they didn't lose. When providers started to think that this was an important decision, some payers suggested that if the provider continued to make the argument, they quite possibly could be in breach of their contract, which clearly scared the providers. Furthermore, it's my belief that the providers did not fully understand the issue and therefore had a difficult time making a cohesive argument to the court. Basically, the court would say they felt there was a contract dispute and order the matter to arbitration. The lien claimant would not make the argument to the court that there was no direct contract, and that is an example, let's say Blue Cross, was not a party to the action, how could the court order them into arbitration, thus leaving no real remedy for the provider?
So what's changed? What's different now?
What's different now, as I suggested before, the silent PPO issue is a nationwide problem that, quite frankly, is difficult to discover. So in reality, after Zuniga, it remained dormant for a while. But as the practice became more prevalent and providers became more sophisticated and educated, they became more willing to litigate the issue. In reality, they realized and saw the complete unfairness as to what was happening, which ultimately culminated in the Woodruff versus Greenfield trucking decision, which may be found at 2007, WorkComp PD Lexus 93.
So what do you think is going to happen? Where's all this leading? What's going to happen down the road?
Well, I believe that, first of all, the listener has to understand that in order for the court to even deal with the issue, the court must first determine that it has jurisdiction. Furthermore, the provider needs to understand that the court only has jurisdiction to award fee schedule unless the evidence is presented to establish that a higher award is due. Steve, I'd like to say the lien claimants needed to start chipping away at the silent PPO, and that is what has occurred since Zuniga. There have been several cases decided dealing with the individual issues, such as jurisdiction, fee schedule, privity of contract, and bill review companies. Some examples are, in 2005, the court in the Maria Molina versus Best Western case, cited as 2005 Cal Work Comp PD Lexus 19, the court held that the Workers' Comp Appeals Board had jurisdiction to resolve fee disputes and that the official medical fee schedule should apply. The court held that since SCIF was not a party to the agreement between the provider and Blue Cross, it was the opinion of the court that SCIF has no standing to force the matter into arbitration. Also, there are several other cases that were decided during this time period, including John Miranda versus Pacific Lumber, 2004 Cal Work Comp PD 90, wherein the court found no privity of contract as fee schedule applied, wherein the court said that the defendant was neither a claims payer, beneficiary, nor employer under the terms of the lien claimant's PPO contract, and thus there was no privity of contract between the parties. The court also dealt with review companies in Richard Balzano versus the City of Los Angeles, cited as 2005 Cal Work Comp PD Lexus 16, which is another issue hidden in the silent PPO arena, wherein the court held that the failure to disclose the relationship between a bill review company and the payer would lead to an unjust result, since the bill review company was not the payer and that the payer was not entitled to the discount. There are other cases dealing with the issue, but as time is limited, I'd like to discuss the Woodruff decision, wherein the court wrote a scathing opinion. The facts in the case are simple, in that an admitted injured worker was treated and the provider billed SCIF, and SCIF, through its relationship with Blue Cross, accessed the provider's Blue Cross contract and paid accordingly. The provider cried foul, and no evidence was presented to show any relationship between the provider and SCIF. The court concluded that SCIF and Blue Cross were trying to do was unfair and was a violation of the California Silent PPO Statute, Labor Code Section 4609, in that it appeared that Blue Cross had attempted to have sold its PPO discount in contravention of the Labor Code. This case actually looked at the issues and decided in lien claimant's favor and is an excellent roadmap for providers because it dealt with the key issues of jurisdiction, privity of contract, fee schedule, and Labor Code 4609. So, Steve, times are changing. Providers are becoming more sophisticated and more knowledgeable as to the issues and are beginning to rewrite their contracts. Also, I'd submit that a lot of states are recognizing the problem and are proposing legislation in order to correct the problem. Only time will tell what will happen. Finally, if listeners are interested in learning more about the subject, attorney David Brian Leonard published an article in the LexisNexis Larson Expert Commentary in February 2008. In the article, he actually took several of the cases that my office was successful in prosecuting and tied them together. I'd suggest that this article, which is available on LexisNexis, is an excellent jumping-off point.
Reed Steinfeld of Grant & Weber on silent PPOs in the workers' compensation arena. Thank you for joining us on this LexisNexis podcast. You're listening to the LexisNexis Workers' Compensation Law Center podcast. Copyright 2008 by LexisNexis, a division of Reed Elsevier Incorporated. LexisNexis, total practice solutions. I'm Steve Bursler. Thank you for listening.